On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we're keeping things local as we discuss the regular season accomplishments of the UC and Xavier men's basketball teams. We talk about the Bengals' decision not to use their franchise tag this year and weigh in on their first free agent signing of the offseason. On the baseball front, the Reds are looking to their younger players to get the bats going as spring training is in full swing. We wrap up the show with a fantasy draft of athletes who had noteworthy second careers outside of sports. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Today is Friday, March 9th, and we're coming to you live from the City of Conference Champions, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, UC and Xavier both showing out.
Can I just winning their, I think we don't want to make a precedent of lying to our fan base. This isn't live.
No, we're coming to you live.
Well, I'm alive.
Oh, yeah? Let's see if the censors can get this then.
Oh,
nope, I heard it.
Thanks to Janet Jackson, we can't say that kind of stuff on the air anymore.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's been a big season for the city of Cincinnati in college basketball, and the regular season was capped off with both Xavier and the University of Cincinnati winning their respective conferences. I saw some people making light of UC's championship in the AAC because it's not the big bad Big East, but everyone wasn't saying, oh, like it's the little eight. Well, I was, but Xavier fans weren't, like, they were proud of their A-10 championships when we were in the Big East,
right?
Yeah,
because I played basketball UC, obviously.
But
when when UC was in the Big East, I mean, Xavier was in the A-10 and it was a lesser conference, but their championships were still A-10 championships, and they were out of a somewhat respectable conference, and I think that's what the AAC is now. But it's funny how quickly Xavier fans forget that wasn't that long ago.
The thing that I don't get, I saw a lot of the same talk that you did, Mac, where the Big East is not the same Big East that it was when UC is in it. I mean,
no.
It's the A-10 rebranded as the Big East.
Exactly.
There's like three good teams in the Big East, and back when UC was in it, there was like there, one year we got nine teams into the to the tournament. It was ridiculous the amount of people that we had to play, and yeah, we're back in the American, which is pretty much Conference USA all over again. Mm-hmm. But there's still, I mean, I would say that the Big East and the American are kind of equal now in terms of toughness. Yeah.
If the AAC and Big East did one of those challenges like the Big Ten does with the AAC, is that who they do it with?
ACC.
Or that's what I meant. Yeah, I'm sorry. If the AAC, the AAAAC, if the AAC and the Big East did one of those, week-long challenges, I think you'd be coming out at about 500.
I agree.
The higher, the Big East is more top-loaded. Like, their best two or three teams are better than the AAC's best two or three teams head to head.
Right.
But across the board, I think they're pretty comparable.
Yeah. The other thing that I'd like to mention about the UC Bearcats is Gary Clark winning the conference player of the year. Yep. He's had such a good senior season that we're definitely going to miss him next year when he's gone. But I look for him to really step up in the tournament play and see what he's got, because that's been the defining thing about Gary Clark his whole UC career is that he doesn't seem fiery. He doesn't seem like he's a tough guy. He kind of gets bullied sometimes on the court. And I'd like to see him get mean for once. And I think Mick's kind of been saying that the whole time, that he's just not a mean player and he needs to have that toughness to show up sometime.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's had quite a few accolades for this season too, not just the Conference Player of the Year, but he's also, I guess, got a Sportsmanship Award and the Defensive Player of the Year and First Team All-Conference. So
yeah,
he's definitely had a hell of a year for them.
Definitely.
And it stinks too because I don't have any personal dealings with Gary Clark or anything. But I don't have any, you know, secondhand knowledge of anything that he's ever done on or off the, court. But the stories you hear is you couldn't ask for a nicer person.
Right.
Like as far as like just a good guy. Like I know that they say he's too nice on the court, but I mean, he just seems like a gentle giant. And it's a shame that he's probably not going to he's an overseas guy. He's not going to be in the NBA.
He may kick around the D League or whatever
it's called.
But
he may kick around there for a while, but he's not an NBA guy. Maybe a second
round draft pick.
Yeah, which stinks because you wish guys like that would get their shot, but yeah, right. I mean, I don't think he's cut for the NBA. Because like you said, he doesn't have that meanness. If he had Kenyon's attitude...
That's what I was going to say. What if he hits that Kenyon mentality in the tournament? Yeah. God, that would be so nasty.
You got to be born with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't just Kenyon's... turn that on.
And we saw that when we went and saw the big three thing with Kenyon kind of talking smack. And
oh yeah,
you're like, oh, he's God, he's about to get beat. And then he put that dude right off the backboard. It was so awesome.
And unfortunately, with the way the NBA or the NCAA is set up now, any guy who makes it to his senior season probably likely isn't cut out for the NBA, because if you're cut out for the NBA, you're gone after 1 or 2 years, most likely. Yeah.
You're right. Unless you're
a late bloomer. Like, there's every now and then you get a late bloomer.
Yeah.
Like a guy that, I mean, I guess you could kind of say Gordon Hayward was, he might have been that way where he was, I mean, if you look at his early college years, I mean, he was as skinny and dorky looking as you can imagine. Even his first year or two in the NBA, he was.
Yeah, he's completely kind of dorky changed.
Looking. Now he's got the hipster look and he's jacked.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And not to change topics too quickly, but since this is 2018 and we are supportive of all lifestyle choices here, I think we would be a little bit remiss to not mention the fact that Xavier had some accolades of themselves. Chris Mack won Coach of the Year in the Big East, so we're happy for them. You know, if you're a Xavier fan, you know, that's great that you're out about it and you can feel proud. So congratulations.
Trayvon Blewett won. Yeah, Trayvon Blewett was named to the conference all conference team or whatever that is.
So enjoy Chris Mack while you can before he goes off to Louisville
or Arizona. Maybe there's a direct path from. Maybe Xavier will have the direct path to Arizona, like UC football has with, or Central Michigan football has with with UC.
Yeah.
But yeah, enjoy Chris Mack while you got him. I think didn't he just sign a new extension? But I mean, it doesn't mean money doesn't talk yet. And now it does. Yeah,
he would have to think he's going to take on a, not that Xavier hasn't showed out in the tournaments. He would think he's going to take on a larger role somewhere else.
I could see him sticking around though, because of it. It's his, I mean, he's a Cincinnati dude.
He's from Cincinnati.
So this may be his dream job, like Huggins in West Virginia, you know, like this may just be where he wants to be at. The other thing I was going to say is with UC basketball, so the conference tournament starts this, I think it starts Thursday for them. They had their first game, so yesterday.
Yeah, it started yesterday. I remember that was a good game.
Yeah.
Blowout, but it was a good game.
Jacob Evans in that game against Wichita, his ankle is not right, and that's a big problem because he is one of their, you know, top three players, probably the best player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And if his ankle's not right, it's going to be a tough march for him.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
No, but I... like March the month. I was thinking March the, you know, the action, like, you know, high-stepping.
Gotcha.
No, but, yeah,
so
when
why
he...
did you say literally and figuratively? I thought that's what you were talking about when you said that.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I spaced out. If you read my blog tomorrow morning, you understand why I'm a little off. I've got about 3 pounds of roast beef in my stomach right now.
I've been poisoned by my constituents.
But we, I think with Jacob Evans, that's bad news. When he went down against, what game was it he got hurt in?
Tulsa.
It was in a blowout game. Tulsa.
Yeah, no. I think it was Tulsa.
Tulsa. It was whoever they blew out right before Wichita.
Tulane. It was Tulane.
Tulane. Yeah, Tulane. It was Tulane because it was in that goofy-ass gym that they're... They've got, they got blown. They were blown out Tulane, and he got hurt under the basket. And when I first saw it, I texted DB immediately. I was like, "Well, there's the Kenyon moment," because it looked like he broke his leg the way he fell.
Yeah, and he wasn't putting any weight on it when he got up. Fuck.
Yep. It's an ankle issue, and I mean, like you said, he didn't look great, but hopefully there's enough time.
He gutted it out and played. So
yeah, and I hope they can breeze through the tournament until they come across Wichita. in the semifinal or in the final of the conference. That way they can get him some rest. But I don't know if they will.
And I was going to say, that's one of those situations where you'd almost think you're better off to have an early exit from the conference tournament because you're not playing to get in at this point. You're playing for seeding. But based on their season, they're going to be a relatively high seed regardless. So
they're going to have to be a top two or three probably.
Yes. Yeah. So if you do have an early exit, I mean, obviously you always want to win your conference tournament, but you already won the regular season conference championship. And if you get a few extra days to let him rest up, I mean, it's almost worth it in the end if it helps him prepare for the actual, you know, NCAA tournament.
So I know we've been sticking with Cincinnati sports. How are you feeling about the Buckeyes, Woody?
As long as they don't match up against Penn State, I think they'll be all right.
I saw your sabermetric of the night a couple days ago.
Yeah, 37.5% of Ohio State's losses this season have been to Penn State. So three out of their eight losses, which...
That's crazy.
How you lose a team three times in one season is amazing. But
that's payback for the football season.
I guess, yeah.
For that comeback win.
I think I said earlier, I didn't have high hopes coming into the season for the Buckeyes just because, you know, they had the coaching transition. It'll take a while for Holtman to really, you know, make his mark on the team. But he's done an excellent job with what he's got so far. I don't think they're going to be making a Final Four run. I'd be happy if they get to the Sweet 16. They'll probably be looking at, probably a 5 or 6 seed coming into it. So I think they'll do okay. I don't have, you know, high expectations. Anything past Sweet 16 is good in my book.
Another thing that I wanted to bitch about is how they are changing the selection show.
Yeah,
did you guys see this bullshit?
I saw Mac's tweet today, and that's terrible.
Oh my god, it's gonna be so bad. So they're gonna, in case you haven't heard, they're gonna list all 68 teams, and then tell you like the seeding and where what brackets everyone's in. It's such bullshit that they just dragged this out for advertisement.
Yeah, and that was one of the best parts was them cutting to like the at large bids and having them go, oh sweet, we're playing Duke or we're playing, you know, UNC. Like that was one of the best parts of the selection show.
And they'll still have those cameras on for when they actually get selected, but as far as, you know, that immediate reaction, like you were talking about, Hefe, they're not gonna when NKU was gonna play UK last year, that was huge seeing it, you know, how Highland Heights, Kentucky reacted. It was awesome.
Yeah,
and I think half the fun too was watching those bubble teams like the second team out of the MAC like a couple years ago, or, you know, Conference USA having a fringe team.
Yeah.
It was fun watching them just sit there and pine over every time they came up in a region that they, you know, if they were getting ready to go to like the, you know, the 10 seed game, like the 10 versus 7, them sitting there waiting to see if they were the 10 seed and stuff like that.
Yeah. Last four in, have first four out. Yeah,
they're all just going to be sitting there like we're in, we just don't know who we play yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is so stupid. I don't know why they did that. It's really dumb.
Honestly, I watch the selection show every year, but I kind of just wish they'd be like, all right, here's the bracket, and just kind of be done with it. Because I don't want to sit here and hear them analyze every single matchup and like you said, DB, they just drag it on and on every year
to
get the advertising money. So. We'll see how this works, but I think it sounds like a dumb idea. I don't know who thought of it, but
the same people that decided to do a selection committee show like every weekend for the last 5 weeks of the season or whatever.
Seriously, I know.
So the NCAA and Turner are doing everything they can to get as much money out of advertising as they can. But the Bengals, surprisingly, did not dole out any money for the franchise tag this year.
Yeah,
they usually tag a kicker or some other position that, you know, we don't need to spend that money on.
I mean, I did hear people speculating would they tag Huber, but I decided not to. And I think the other option that I heard people talking about was Eifert, which I have mixed feelings on Eifert. I have a hard time letting go just because he is so talented, but he can't stay healthy. And You never want to let go too soon and then have him put it all together for a full season and be like, that's, you know, that's what we let go of. That's who we're missing. But you also don't want to continue to waste time and money on a guy that you're going to get half a season out of tops. So we'll see if they re-sign him this year because he's a free agent now. But
I mean, he may still get some sort of ridiculous offer from a team that sees, you know, the doctors say he's healthy. Let's get him under contract, because he does have he has such a high ceiling.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to let him go.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the big athletic tight ends that can really, you know, be a threat in the passing game. That's such a commodity in the NFL these days. I mean, look at Gronk. Like, you know, I don't think Eifert's on Gronk's level, but I think he's pretty damn close. Like, if Eifert's healthy, he's a top three tight end in the league. So,
yeah, like if Eifert was on the Patriots.
Oh God, yeah, exactly, yeah. But so teams are gonna gamble on that, and you know. One flaw, I guess, of Mike Brown's, one of many, I guess, is that he's very loyal to his own guys, and he'll overpay his, you know, people that'll come up through the system. So that wouldn't surprise me if the Bengals throw, you know, too much at Eifert too. But, you know, I still want to see it happen where he can play for the Bengals and put it together and stay healthy. But at this point, I haven't seen anything that makes me think that's going to happen. So if they do sign him, he's going to have a injury shortened season again. And then, you know, he's going to basically have a wasted career, but you know, it is what it is. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I agree with Woody. I'd like to see it happen, but Tyler Kroft has made me okay with it.
Yeah,
being a move on situation.
Yeah, he's serviceable.
Yeah,
especially if they can get somebody in the draft, or they can, you know, pick up one of these free agent tight ends that's out there. It's made me a little bit more okay with moving on from him, because I just don't want to see I don't want to hear about what ifs anymore. Like, what if Eifert was healthy? What would Dalton do? I'm just tired of hearing that.
There's two teams I can see the Eifert going to on a huge payday for some weird reason. I don't know why I'm picturing both of these teams. One is the Jets, and the other one is the Buccaneers. I could see the Buccaneers just throwing crazy money.
I see him randomly ending up out to the Niners for some reason.
That would be nice with Jimmy G.
Like, just a total change of scenery, new quarterback. That's where I think, like, the Niners are like a Denver. Is where I picture him.
If he goes somewhere other than Cincinnati, I hope it's somewhere I can root for him.
My guess,
I agree.
My guess is Redskins, because they had who's that one tight end that they've always had that I think he's had injury issues recently.
Reed?
Yeah, Reed.
Jordan Reed. Yeah,
yeah. So
remember when he was a fantasy surprise?
Yeah.
Oh God, I know, he went off that one year.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, who knows? The Vikings.
I just pictured him franchise tagging somebody that would piss me off, like Bodine, and I don't even know if he was up for a franchise tag, but I just pictured him like picking the one, like a Pac-Man, or I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Pac-Man's got an option. They got to decide if they're going to pick up or not.
I really hope they don't.
Well,
the other news out of Bengals camp is Chris Baker from, I think it was Tampa Bay last year where
Tampa,
he played. We signed as a free agent for, I think, $3 million for 1 year.
He got a huge deal from Tampa right before he.
Yeah.
It was three years, 15.
Yep.
And I guess the knock on, and I didn't know anything about him before the, you know, they talked about the Bengals possibly signing him, but I guess his knock in Tampa was that, you know, he was kind of lazy. You know, he basically. It wasn't putting forth the effort, and also I guess he had some locker room issues too, where I guess they had some like altercations, or I don't know if it was like an all-out fight, but I think it was more of
Jameis trying to eat W's.
Yeah.
That was so the weirdest. That locker room's fucked up.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I was reading said like there was basically ended up a shouting match. It wasn't like a physical confrontation, but I think it stemmed from a play where he jumped off sides, and then after the game, he was, like, laughing and smiling, and people kind of got rubbed the wrong way that he wasn't taking things seriously, or that he wasn't, you know, he didn't seem like he gave a shit. So, you know, we'll see if he kind of can, you know, get that right. I guess from what I've seen, he had a decent last couple of years when he was in Washington, because he came from the Redskins before going to Tampa. So, if he can get back to that, I mean, $3 million is not a ton to spend on a 1 year deal for a defensive lineman. And the way the Bengals like to rotate linemen through, having a decent talent that's going to be a fresh set of legs. We could get a lot of good use out of him, but
sure,
you know, as long as he's got the attitude and the work ethic down.
And that's what I was going to say, with the way they rotate and they've got, you know, Billings and Glasgow. He might not even really get that much time. And that's my favorite thing about fans bitching Cincinnati about free agency pickups, and then the Bengals will do something and they like immediately think that the problem with free agency is everybody thinks that people are going to sign those game changers, and it rarely happens. The Bengals are so deep at some of the positions that these are just spot fillers in case somebody gets hurt. That's why they're looking for a safety right now. It's a spot fill in case you have both your safeties go down like last year.
I'd like to see them sign some fucking offensive linemen.
I know. Yeah. I'm hoping the draft they can fix some of that issue.
We'll see next month for the draft.
It's a deep draft for O-linemen.
A lot of deep belly buttons.
Deep belly buttons.
So the Reds are currently in spring training. They're not off to a hot start.
No, they're not hitting the ball.
No, which is weird because that was the only thing they could do last year was hit it. You know, their pitching kind of sucked. But
although what the score of the game Wednesday night, as you listen, this was like 14-12, wasn't it?
14, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They're on the wrong side of it, but
yeah. But the there's been a couple bright spots in camps, with Amir Garrett has been playing okay. Jesse Winker is hitting the ball in the leadoff spot. Yeah.
Yep.
So you hate to say, no, fuck it. I don't want Billy Hamilton leading off anymore. He probably needs to be hitting ninth behind the pitcher.
He needs to be a pinch runner for late inning situations.
Right.
Yeah.
And
no, I agree.
God, he's amazing in the outfield, which sucks if you're not starting him.
Yeah, but the one thing that the Reds do have going for him is it's such a small outfield, a great American. So you can get away. And Jesse Winker's he's not a blazing speed guy, but he can move well. If he's if he's in center, I don't know how you lose some crazy gaps, like balls that would get into the gap for a double or even a long single. You're not going to get those catches from Billy Hamilton or from Jesse Winker that you'd get from Billy Hamilton. But I think what Jesse gives you all around is better than those flashy plays from time to time.
Right.
And that's coming from a huge Billy Hamilton fan. I love watching him play. I just don't like watching him hit.
You know, Shebler did
try to hit.
Did good in center when he played a couple times last year, too. So, they have a couple options of people that they can play.
We had Griffey playing center at one point there. he ended up getting so fat and slow he had to move to right. But
do you guys ever get stuck in the prospect wormhole of like videos of the minor leaguers? I am all in on Senzel. I watched.
Ooh, you're an early adopter, videos.
Huh? What'd you say?
You're an early adopter of our number one prospect for last 3 years.
But I have never watched video on him, and I like watch video on him, and I don't care what the hell he does in spring.
Been our fucking top prospect for 4 years.
I really think he's got
a future, guys.
But I've never watched like video on him, and I got stuck in that. Like, I was watching Hunter Green and his videos the other day, and I was just like, oh my God. Like, it got me so ready for baseball season. And he's probably going to start out AAA.
He's a shortstop, so we're still figuring out what Peraza's doing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly. But I got stuck in that like video watch mode the other day, and I was just watching all their top prospects.
Man, against single A pitchers, he's hitting bombs.
And Senzel was playing a good third the other day too, which you're not going to put Suarez at short probably anymore.
Right. Yeah.
They could have, but the thing that sucks is we've got so many. They've got what they call them 4A players.
Right.
They've got a couple 4A guys at shortstop and second base. That Dilson Herrera was supposed to be the second baseman of the future, which is why they got rid of Brandon Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that yet, although Peraza kind of forced the hand on then Scooter. And so, Scooter's probably going to start at second.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what you have at short with Peraza, really. He had a couple good years, or had one good year, then followed by a really shitty year.
Mm-hmm.
You got Suarez, who was a third baseman by trade, and Senzel, or a shortstop by trade, playing third base, a great third base. You don't want to take his bat out of the lineup.
Kivlahan is still on the roster somewhere too. But I mean, he's not starter talent. Guy. Right.
Right.
But they've got so many 4A guys that just they're too good to take off the roster, but you don't have the young guys that are necessarily ready to be everyday guys.
Right.
I think Senzel will be a – I bet he gets the Jesse Winker treatment from last year where he just keeps coming back and forth.
Like a mid-year call-up and then go back down. And I could see that.
Like for injury if we – I mean, I hate to see injuries, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if an injury forced the hand of the organization to play him.
Yeah.
And kind of get a – and he's – I mean, he's not a young guy. He played in college, so it's not like he's a high school kid that is only 22 years old or 21 years old now. He's
– Yeah.
Probably, I don't know how old he is, but he's probably 24 or so.
The other thing that I saw, Mac, is so Barry Larkin's been spending his time in camp, in case you didn't know, your boy. And he's actually been a little critical of the organization that, you know, he says he would want to take over as manager once the team is in a better organizational place. So, like, he's kind of saying, you know, if once the team gets better, you know, I'd like to take over. And that makes me wonder, like, how the fuck does Brian Price feel about having a dude waiting in the wings in his camp right now? That's got to be weird that, you know, because he's making comments about him and whoever's above him, you know, Dick Williams or whoever.
And I know that has rubbed some people the wrong way. And before I have all the internet trolls calling me out, Nick Senzel is 22 years old.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
23 in June.
So, so he is still pretty young. But he, Barry Larkin is, I mean, he's not making any friends, but I think that's what the Reds are going to need. I think they're going to need someone that's not going to accept the current situation.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it is awkward to do it. And he and Brian Price had a very long private discussion at the very beginning of spring training, apparently, behind closed doors. I don't think it's ever really come out what was said. I think a lot of people speculate it might have been Brian asking him to, you know, really spend a lot of time with Senzel at shortstop.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it was probably like, hey, if you're going to be here, I need to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yep.
But Brian Price knows. I mean, the Reds have been very instrumental in getting Barry Larkin ready to be a manager.
Yes.
Like, I believe that they were very supportive of him coaching Brazil in the World Baseball Classic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they've been very, I mean, they obviously brought him into the organization to coach and help the younger players. So I get what Barry's saying, and I like what Barry's saying because, I mean, I wouldn't want to take over a team that wasn't prepared to win either.
Right.
Exactly. It's not like he's telling lies. He's saying the truth.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think it's a personal thing. It's a philosophy thing. I think his statements kind of line up with Joey Votto, what he says.
Right. Yeah.
Where Joey Votto said, you know, Joey Votto was legitimately, he said, I'm concerned about the fan base. They can only take so many years of a rebuild. And he's like, and as a Reds fan myself, like, I want to see us in a position where we can start making a run.
Yeah. Right. And with Joey, the clock's ticking for him, too. So he's got even more urgency. So,
I'm not even going to guess his age, but I'm pretty sure it's like low 30s.
He's 45.
Oh, shit. He looks good. You know what they say, Canadians don't crack.
Yep.
The other thing that.
Don't crack. We'll edit that in.
The other thing that we've been looking for from the Reds organization that we haven't really seen recently has been like leadership other than Joey just does it by example. We'd like to see a vocal leader, and I could really see Tucker Barnhart stepping into that position this early in the season. See, you know, hearing some of his comments on the Pat McAfee show, I really think that he can be that leader in the clubhouse. Yeah.
And a lot of times it is the catcher in those situations too, where they are they're essentially the quarterback of the team out in the field. And I love Tucker Barnhart. I love that we've got that connection now it's no lie that we're all big fans of a lot of what Barstool does, and Pat McAfee being one of those guys. And Pat McAfee's kind of had a weird career path.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, how do you go? If people that don't know a whole lot about Pat McAfee is, he was a punter, but he never had the kind of money to go to these camps when he was younger. So he bet a bunch of money in an underground poker game to raise money to get to one of these Florida kicking camps, which is where he met the coaches from West Virginia, which he got an offer. Long story short, ends up at West Virginia, great punter in the NFL for a long time, or kicker. Yeah,
he started off as a field goal kicker all through college, and he transitioned to punter once he hit the NFL, which because that was the funniest part of his story, is that they drafted him and basically told him, all right, you're going to be our punter, and he had never punted before in his life, so he's like, okay, guess I'm going to learn how to punt now.
And before that, everyone just knew him as the jacked kicker on NCAA whatever year that was.
Yep, yeah.
NCAA 12 or 2012 or whatever, or 2008, whatever it was. But yeah, now he decided to hang up the old punting cleat. I don't even know, soccer. I don't know if he wore soccer cleat. He hung up the old cleats and took on a second life as a radio show blogger podcaster.
Yeah. And he is loving it too, and I think he's perfect for that role. So I don't think he has any regrets about hanging up the cleats.
No, I mean, he's even training it with professional wrestling,
right?
I mean, he interfered in a NXT, which is the minor leagues of the WWE.
Yeah,
he interfered in one of their matches with their top star a couple weeks ago, which was funny to see. And I mean, you can tell he's working out and he's pretty jacked now.
Yeah,
I think he's gonna try to start mixing some of that stuff in. But thanks to Pat McAfee, he is actually our inspiration for our fantasy draft this week on, you know, spin-off careers off of, post athletic careers,
notable careers outside of sports that athletes have had.
Because I think of all the people that could ever be on our list, he might be the one I would like to mirror the most.
Yeah.
Cause he's living the dream now. Their office is awesome. It's a half court basketball court in his office.
Yeah.
He just he eats edibles all day and just gets. Which that's another thing. And
I hope
it's not legal.
Does a drug test.
Yeah. Well, they do. I'm pretty sure they do. I don't know for pot, probably. But that's another thing. And this doesn't have to go off on a tangent. But what's the ramifications of someone that, like Pat McAfee, he's in a state where it's not legal? He talks about eating edibles all the time. What's for a cop not to just stop him when he's walking down the street and be like, hey, what's in your pocket?
Yeah.
Like, is him talking about it on a podcast probable just cause? Like, yeah, probable yeah. cause? Like,
I don't know.
Because he could say it was for entertainment purposes and he's not really doing it.
Right. Yeah.
But I always wondered about that. Because you hear about that people doing that on TV or on not TV shows, on radio shows, talking about like gambling or doing drugs and stuff, like illegal activity. But I was wondering if that's like a protected.
It's like when you go to like concerts, like, and some of the, you know, rap concerts are doing it on stage, like in cities that it's not legal in.
Can you imagine arresting Snoop Dogg at the middle of a concert?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're going to go around and we're going to take our turns mentioning some of the athletes that had notable post-sports careers, and I'm going to kick things off with probably the most, I don't know how to say it, it was a downward spiral, but maybe a little bit of redemption, but, you know, heavy air quotes redemption. My first pick is O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
He was a football player turned actor turned hitman turned detective trying to find the guy that, you know, killed people that it was him himself. Shocker. Turned memorabilia collector because he went back to jail for stealing his own memorabilia back from people. And now he's back to being a detective, claiming he's going to find everybody who did all these bad things that he did himself. So, O.J. Simpson, he's had a lot of careers right after football. And don't really want to mirror his career path like I would Pat McAfee's.
No, I would hope not.
I was going to draft O.J., but I was going to act like, you know, I haven't really heard much from him from since 1994, but I know that he had a budding broadcast career.
Oh, yeah, he's a broadcast, too.
Don't know what happened after that. But.
What else? What can't OJ do, honestly? Yeah. Jack of all trades.
Can't
get away with murder.
Can't fit into a pair of isotoners.
Yeah.
Hefe, you got pick number two.
Yeah, pick number two, I'm going to stay in the football realm. I'm going to go with an undrafted free agent for the Oakland Raiders. Played a little bit in the CFL. Decided to turn his talents towards boxing. Was a golf pro, a mercenary, acting coach, Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Been in so many good, you know, projects. He was Chubbs Peterson, golf pro, and Happy Gilmore, one of my favorite characters. Yep. He was an acting coach in Arrested Development, again, one of my favorite, cameos in Arrested Development.
I loved him in Arrested
Development. Some of my favorite cameos in Arrested Development was him as an acting coach playing himself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Apollo Creed is though. Classic, too.
Yeah, right.
Apollo Creed, he was a boxer, you know. He actually boxed with Ali, like he just... He's really like the Forrest Gump of sports. Like, he's done everything. He's been in some of the blockbuster movies. He hasn't done a
Predator.
Lot, but, you know, recently. Yeah, That was the mercenary. You know, hired to kill a sci-fi being. But he's just been in so many like different like blockbusters. He's been alongside like somebody that might end up on this list. So I'm not going to say him. but he's acted, you know. Besides some, you know, big blockbuster stars. So, yep. Carl Weathers was my first pick.
Yep. He was on my list, too.
Yep, that's a good one. So, my first pick, this guy, I guess, wasn't a traditional athlete, but he was, widely accepted he was an athlete. He was in a big four major sports, but his main, athletic venture was bodybuilding. And then he went into some acting and politics afterwards. And so I'm talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And obviously the acting, that's not big of a stretch. But the fact that he became governor of California, it's just so crazy to think about. And, like, that's the kind of thing that on a local level, like maybe being a mayor, you could see that happening. But I just don't, you know, I don't think it'll ever work. And again, where you have an athlete or a celebrity being in charge of an entire state and having that work out, because that's just absolutely insane to even think about, you know, that being successful. So I doubt we see something like that big again. But the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger went into politics and didn't, he didn't destroy the state of California. I don't know how well he did, if he was widely accepted as being successful as a governor, but
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he did much there, but like I said, that's something that you really, on that high of a level, you don't really think something like that could work. But
can you imagine how big of a mess that would be on a federal level?
Oh my god, I could.
Having a celebrity turned into the president?
No, there's no way you can make that happen without somebody having some sort of history in politics, I don't think.
Yeah.
The governator, I love it.
Yeah, that was the best nickname ever.
My first pick. So, he's had ups and downs his entire career. I'm going with Magic Johnson.
Nice.
So, he retired in like 91 or 92 because he announced that he had HIV. And he came back and played basketball. And then, you know, in 1998, he tried to go the Jay Leno route. And he had a late night TV show called Magic, you know, and it was just fucking awful. It lasted 8 weeks before it got canceled. But he's kept going his entire career, and he was an owner of the Dodgers, and now he's like the GM of, you know, the Lakers, basically president of basketball operations. So he's back on top, and I think that he has what it takes to turn the Lakers around, you know. But he's had ups and downs his entire career, and I think that, you know, just after his post-playing days, he's become an advocate for HIV and just done so much.
Yeah, so much tampering, yes.
Good and bad, right?
That's a good one.
Thank you. My second one is going to be... Yeah, I have to do it. I have to say Kobe, you know, because his... He won an Oscar.
Award-winning Kobe.
Exactly. He won an Oscar this past weekend for his animated short, Dear Basketball, which it's kind of rigged. Like, he kind of, you know, being in L.A. all those years, he had the animator from Aladdin do the animation for it, and he had John Williams, the Star Wars sound guy, do the music for it.
Yeah.
So he kind of, you know, he kind of rigged it so that he would win it, but it was still a great documentary or a great short, and, you know, he won.
Classic Kobe, always needing a big supporting cast to win.
That's right.
One of my favorite tweets was all the stuff that it was side by side of all the stuff that Leonardo DiCaprio had been in, and then Kobe. And they both have one Oscar.
Yep, they're both tied.
That was hilarious.
So my second pick, this is one that I wasn't really aware of, and so I started researching this particular topic. But this is, I guess, an example of a big-name athlete in a big-name sport going to a smaller sport that it's kind of ridiculous to even think about. I didn't realize this was even a professional sport. But Jake Plummer is a quarterback for Arizona, for Denver for a while. After he retired from the NFL, he dabbled in professional handball for a while. So he played in some professional tournaments. He did some doubles with his brother, I think. He also played, so I guess I was reading a little bit about it. I guess they did single tournaments too, where he played with his brother against his brother, and he lost, and his brother went on to win the championship. So apparently the Plummer brothers are pretty accomplished handball players. So
Jake the Snake.
Yep, Jake the Snake, professional handball player. I just thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't even know, like I said, they had professional handball. But
handball is one of those sports that every 4 years in the Olympics, kind of like curling.
Yeah.
You're like, I could be really good at that.
I'll be honest, I don't 100% understand what handball is. It's basically like racquetball with your hands, right?
It's essentially, no, it's like soccer.
Yeah, it's like
with
soccer
the three-point line
with
your hand.
Yeah, a little too much cardio for me.
Yeah, no thanks.
Big quarterback hands, man. He's a natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you're only allowed to take a certain amount of – I forget what it is. I forget. There's weird rules. It's one of those sports that I always learn the rules when they're on TV, and then I forget about it by the time the next summer rolls around. It's got a weird three-point line, and you – I mean, it is basically soccer with your hands on a gym floor.
Nice.
But, it's fun.
Yeah. Wrapping up to my second pick, this guy kind of has a special place in my heart. I'm a fat guy.
Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, I'm a fat guy. This guy came out with probably one of the best inventions for college students, and that's the lean, mean grilling machine.
Yeah.
George Foreman. Went on to be a spokesperson for the Foreman Grill, former boxer, championship boxer. And he's cooked a lot of hamburgers for me in my college years, and even when I feel like being lazy in my adult years. So, George Foreman.
He is so concussed from boxing that he had to name all of his kids George so that he wouldn't forget their names.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it sounds pretty genius to me. Yeah, George Foreman is my second pick.
I own his grill also. Yep.
Yep. I think I've still got the one in our, it's like in our closet. I should get that out this weekend in honor of old George.
And if you don't want to use the one that you have, just go to any Goodwill local and you could probably find like 250 of those on the shelf.
Yeah.
That's something I'd rather buy from.
Yeah.
That is gross.
I don't know what.
I clamped my foot.
Yeah, I was going to say, see how Michael Scott treated his George Foreman.
I cooked my foot.
I don't appreciate what he did to Michael Scott's foot.
Alrighty. I'm going to keep it in the boxing realm. I'm going with Mike Tyson.
Nice.
He was a boxer. But his second career is a pigeon racer.
Yep.
I think is... Yeah. Something that we should all strive for someday. I don't know of any other pigeon racer, so I got to think he's the best in the world.
He's the best I know of.
Yeah. And he dabbled in some acting. He's won a great cameo on Hangover.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
But no, he is a world-class pigeon racer, I believe. I don't know if he still does it. But for the sake of our draft, he does.
Didn't I'm a big Tyson fan. Try and make a TV show out of that at one point?
Yeah, it was going to be like a documentary on HBO or something. It was like a docu-series type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just sounds kind of depressing. Because he, has relationships with these pigeons. Like, he loves these pigeons. Yeah. That's sad.
Didn't they make a cartoon of him, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
I don't know that ever went over big, though.
Yeah, I don't think it did.
I remember...
He had a short stint in the WWE, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Feuded with Stone Cold. Stone Cold, yeah.
Yep. That's what they were saying. They were maybe thinking about doing a Ronda Rousey, Mike Tyson, like, follow the same career trajectory as
I'd watch that
as Tyson. And for my last pick, to supplement DB's, one of DB's picks, I am going with Shaq.
Nice.
He was a basketball player, obviously. And after that, he became an actor, and now he's a member of the law enforcement. And I don't know. Does he still do the cop gig when he's not on TBS or TNT?
Yeah, he's like honorary sheriffs in like 8 different cities.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But at one point, he was actually on the beat. Like, he actually like went out on patrol for a while. I'm sure they were all camera. Like,
right.
It was all like publicity stuff. But he was on an actual like police beat for a while, I remember.
Just like Steven Seagal. He had that reality show with where he would go around catching bad guys.
Yeah.
You're naturally nervous when you get pulled over by a cop just because you're like, what did I do? But could you imagine if you looked back and Shaq was walking up to your car and you're like,
yeah, I'd be like, oh, hey, it's Lord. Shaq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you I have just, a Lakers God, tattoo. God,
I would just run. Yeah. Never catch
That's what, well, I was going to say either that or just hope that he shoots a gun just as well as shot free throws and he would miss you.
Or hope he falls.
Also, ooh, I don't know.
Hour and a half.
30%. 30% are not. That's not an. It's not a percentage I'm willing to take when someone's shooting a gun at me. I still consider that a pretty big risk.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Just gotta do a serpentine pattern.
I'll just try to
jump. Yeah. Just jump like in Fortnite.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Build a panic to
stay
wall.
10 feet off the ground.
My final pick, I'm going to go with the greatest basketball player of all time, forever and always, Michael Jordan. He is a golfer and a baseball player and a shoe mogul, and just he's better than LeBron, so suck it. He's an owner. Yeah, team owner.
Oh, yes.
I forgot about that. He's just so accomplished, and he
sells white t-shirts.
LeBron, so suck it, LeBron. Douche.
So speaking of the white t-shirts thing, I guess this is something we never really talk about much, but I'm team Fruit of the Loom.
I agree.
I do the Hanes Comfort Soft.
Hanes. Jockey's nice sometimes too.
I bought never a bunch of jockey shirts the
jockey
one time.
Jockey shirts are nice.
They were nice and thick.
I'm Fruit of the Loom and Hanes.
Yeah, so suck it, Michael. I wear both too, but
well, the Hanes Cool X technology or whatever it is helps me out because I'm a big sweater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And somehow, I don't know how they make a cotton t-shirt make you feel cooler. Maybe they just, like, douse it in menthol so it's like that cooling sensation when you start to sweat.
I think it's just a placebo effect.
Probably is.
Every single t-shirt they put out is the exact same material. They just put different stuff on the packaging.
Not the first. Never mind. I was going
to
say.
That was Witt's way of trying to make... You know, say that you still smell like shit.
No.
No.
All right, so my last pick, this is tough because I've got a lot on here that I think are noteworthy. So I'm going to go with a former NFL receiver. He did pretty well. He had a pretty successful career for a while, then just kind of flamed out and decided to go into a second career of crime. And I'm talking about Rashay Caldwell, so probably the worst criminal in all of sports history. He had a kind of an illegal gambling ring going on for a while, I guess, and that got raided. And while he was waiting on trial for that, he tried to buy a bunch of Molly because he wanted to start dealing drugs. And he got, I guess, it shipped to him. And they discovered the package or whatever, and so he got arrested, and I think got sent to jail for a couple years. But they were talking to him afterwards, like how he knew to do what he did, or I guess shouldn't have known because it wasn't the right thing to do. But at one point, he said he was Googling how to like get a hold of these drugs. So Jesus. Yeah, so it doesn't get too much worse than that. But
Jesus,
yeah. One of the dumbest criminals ever, I think, but luckily for him, he was dumb, and he didn't become a very successful criminal because I think he's pretty much gotten his life turned around since then, and I don't know if he's still in jail or if he's out now, but hopefully he's on the right path and he doesn't go down the old drug-dealing road or the illegal gambling road because he's clearly not cut out for it.
You mentioning the getting drugs mailed to you reminded me of when Jerome Simpson for the Bengals got in trouble for getting pot mailed to him.
Yep.
Jesus.
But it makes me wonder, like, and I'm kind of mad I haven't done it yet, but if it happens in the future, it wasn't me. Why don't people mail drugs to people they hate and just kind of like send a tip like, hey, I think someone's buying drugs.
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, why wouldn't, why hasn't a super fan of a certain team done that to the most hated team in the world? Like, why doesn't Big Ben have a pound of cocaine showing up on his driveway every single week?
Maybe he does.
Again, not saying I would do it.
I'm surprised that kind of stuff doesn't happen, blackmailing through, like, mailing drugs to each other. You wouldn't arrest one guy for delivering drugs from one guy from to the other.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, I'm going to end this draft off strong. And I actually can't believe that this dude didn't get drafted. He is another guy that we talked about before, you know, just in our group chat. He's the easiest selection here, and it's The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, he started off as a Miami. He started off as a Miami football player. I don't know if he got any workouts in the NFL or not, but he transitioned to WWE wrestling. His dad was a big wrestler. And then he broke into movies, and he is one of the biggest stars in the world now. He hosts, he sings, he dances. He has one of the greatest cameos of all time in the movie Be Cool. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, go watch that movie. The Rock is fucking amazing in it.
Yeah.
Yes, but what a good movie. The guy can literally do anything.
That might have been one of his first works.
Even
like
be
where
the
he got
president.
No, was we already Rock? Said that you can't be a celebrity and
yeah, reality stars and celebrities cannot be president.
Yeah, come on.
Be Cool might have been The Rock's first big movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The ones that I remember first are Walking Tall and what's the one where he chases Michael Williams guy through the jungle?
The Tooth Fairy.
The Rundown.
What is it? Yeah, the Rundown.
I think it's called The Rundown. Yeah. I think Walking Tall or Jumanji. I think those were after Be Cool because Be Cool was.
It's early.
I feel like he was thinner in Be Cool. He wasn't quite the jacked Rock that you see Walking Tall in those movies. Which is funny to say the thinner Rock because he was still jacked.
Right.
Yeah.
He's on top of the world right now. Other than Kevin Hart, you can't say there's anyone out there making more of a killing in movies.
Yeah.
No.
And that's the big thing they wanted, and not to keep bringing it back to this, but. The original thing was they wanted The Rock and Ronda Rousey to be together for WrestleMania.
I'd watch that.
But the last time he wrestled, he tore his pectoral, I think it was. And they were like, he can't afford to take that risk right now while he's the most coveted movie star in the world.
Yeah.
Like he tore his ab, like one of his abs.
Maybe that's what it was. It was his ab.
So Be Cool was 2005. Walking Tall was 2004. Rundown was 2003.
Really?
But I guess his biggest roles were in The Mummy Returns and The Scorpion King. That was 2001.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't even think about
2002,
that.
I forgot about that.
I didn't realize that was that early.
Me either. Because in those movies, maybe it's just because he's a superhero in all those movies other than Be Cool. Not superhero, but a badass.
Right.
Be Cool, he's obviously not really a badass, but they...
he's got, what is it, a pink gun or red gun? What is that?
Yeah.
No, it's a red bat? What is it?
It's a red aluminum bat.
Yeah, red aluminum bat.
But he, in those movies, I guess maybe he just, because of his role, he seemed a bit like more of a jack dude, but that's crazy. I would have guessed Be Cool was earlier than that.
Yeah.
That's, Scorpion King is the one that throws me off, because that was...
It wasn't a big speaking part either. He was kind of just like a...
I've never seen it. I just know he's the...
I've never seen it
either. He was the Scorpion King, so he was the main, I guess, he's the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the...
After last week's Black Panther talk, I don't trust superhero movies. I thought Michael B. Jordan was the good guy, and I don't know.
Yeah. All right, honorable mentions. Witty, I know you had a ton.
Yeah, so I had quite a few. I'm probably not going to name all of them. I had a handful of other failed criminals... So Nate Newton and Sam Heard both popped for dealing drugs, and there's been a handful of others as well. I had Lenny Dykstra in his post-career as a financial advisor.
God.
And the one that I found most interesting, and one that I had no idea of, but Randy Johnson, the pitcher, I guess he's really big into photography. So he's gone. Really? He's traveled all around the world taking pictures. I don't think it was like a full-time gig, but he took some pictures at an NFL game, like for the NFL. It was up in Seattle because he's got the ties to Seattle from being with the Mariners. Mm-hmm. But my favorite thing about it, if you go to his website, it's RJ50, 51 or 52. I forget what his number is.
51.
Yeah, RJ 51 Photography or something like that. His logo is like a dead bird from the time when he hit the bird with the pitch. Awesome. Yeah, it's just like a bird, awesome. Like upside down with like X's over its eyes. So that cracked me up when I saw that. But yeah, I had no idea he was a big photographer. But I guess that's what he got his degree in when he was at USC. And nice. So after he stopped playing in the MLB, he decided to go into photography full time.
I wouldn't know if you had me guess what he did now, I would have not been able to picture that, no pun intended. But I do remember you saying, now that you said that he did some stuff with like the NFL and whatnot, I remember seeing that he was into that post-baseball career. Yeah. But what a weird, like, imagine that big ugly dude showing up to your wedding to take pictures.
Yep. Yeah. All the pictures would be the worst angle ever. It's like half of people's heads.
It would look like this pictures you take of people on TV. Yep.
That's funny.
My my only honorable mention was Gerald Ford. I know that Witty kind of whatever about the presidency, but he played football at Michigan. He actually had offers from the Lions and the Packers to play in the NFL, really? And he ended up passing it up to go to Yale.
And honestly, that works out because he played at Michigan, so that's hardly even being considered an athlete, I think.
That's true. But yeah, the only person to hold the office of president and vice president without being voted into either position. So
it's impressive.
Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
I have a feeling the next 3 years might provide a couple more opportunities for that.
Yeah.
Or 2 years, whatever it is. I'm not good at math. My honorable mention, in the hills of the Appalachia in Ohio University, storied football program. One member of the team, I forget when it was, probably I guess it was in the 60s probably. Ed O'Neill. played football. He was an Ohio Bobcat for a couple years until he basically flunked out because he didn't do anything but drink, hang out with girls, and play football.
Yeah.
But now I'd say he made the right decision because he's a great actor. He's on probably one of the most successful long-running sitcoms that are out right now with Modern Family. He was one of the O'Shea brothers in The Little Giants, which is an awesome role. Obviously Al Bundy.
Yep. Yeah,
He had a cup of coffee with the Steelers too, I believe.
Yeah, because he ended up going on to play like Urbana or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think he has some Terry Bradshaw stories.
Yeah. But yeah. So Ed O'Neill, that's always one of those claim to fames. I mean, we have a lot of them at OU, with a lot of people.
We don't
that
talk about Matt Lauer.
No, not anymore. Nope, not anymore. But yeah, there are a lot of people that it's always a fun. Like, hey, you know, they actually went to OU. And about 50% of the time, they didn't graduate, which is funny, too. But yeah, so Ed O'Neill, he's done a good job. I think his secondary career post-sports was much more successful than he ever would have been if he stayed on campus in Athens. But yeah, so it's good to see a Bobcat making making a name for themselves in the acting world.
Yeah, I only had two. Ryan Leaf, kind of his spiral downward, everybody probably knows the story by now, but he just was supposed to be like the greatest quarterback of all time and just ended up, you know, catching a lot of convictions, failed as a NFL prospect and just kind of, you know, fell apart. And I think he's started to recover from a lot of the stuff over the last couple of years from, you know, his kind of his fall from grace. And then my other one was sports entertainment, Chris Jericho. He is a lead singer for a band. So he's living the rock star lifestyle outside of, you know, pretty much living the rock star lifestyle in the WWE. Nice. So he kind of gets to carry on living the rock star lifestyle for the rest of his life.
Fun fact, his dad is a Hall of Fame hockey player.
There you go.
Didn't know that.
All right. So we like to wrap up every show, just letting you know what we're looking forward to in the upcoming week / weekend. So, Hefe, why don't you get us started? Let us know what you're looking forward to.
I'm going to see the new Strangers movie on Friday. So
looks awful.
I like the first one. I'm excited to see if it's good. My wife does kind of like crappy suspense movies, so it could be really bad.
Strangers was the one where they were wearing the masks and shit. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. And they
break into their house because then at the end they go, why'd you do this? Because you guys are home.
It had Glenn Howerton in it.
yeah, I think.
He's one of the friends that dies.
Yeah, he is.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Pretty much all the movies he ends, he gets shot in the face. Yeah. Like, he's in Crank and gets shot in the face. But yeah, so, I'm kind of excited to see if it's good.
It's going to be awful. So it doesn't look great. The only thing that I'm looking forward to, which I'm sure everyone else is too, is Selection Sunday. I know the Bearcats got a couple games this weekend. Hopefully they have a couple games this weekend. But, you know, Selection Sunday coming up.
I'm looking forward to not getting miserably wasted. So it's been two weekends in a row. Mm-hmm. In Athens,
catches up to you.
Huh? I had to call it quits early on Friday night. Got out of control last week with the people I was in town with.
Yeah, so how did things?
They're
go
friends
with
of the podcast,
DJ Ango.
So we never made it back because I really don't. You know how things go in Athens.
Couldn't like wait 20 minutes for him to come on.
Her.
No wonder she was late. Probably fixing her hair.
No, the best part is she's a bartender at the bar we were at.
Oh, really?
So, like, she was like, I'm going to DJ at 9. And we're like, what time is it? She's like, I don't know, like 8 something. And I was like, that's too long. We can't wait for that.
Yeah. So and the reason way I... too drunk by then.
So I went to one of our favorite food spots, Souvlaki's, and had... I was wearing a hooded sweatshirt. And I had a pouch full of fried jalapeno cheese curds. And they were like little like cheddar jack cheese curds or something like that. They were spicy. And I think fries maybe, but I was just eating out of my pouch the whole time, and that's why I had a cup of ranch. And but you guys know how things go. We were like, okay, we'll be back in a little bit, and I don't know what happened, yeah, honestly. Like, I know I know what happened, but I don't know why we ever decided just like, yeah, we're done. We're just going on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to a weekend without that. I had a lot of fun. I didn't even make it past lunch on Saturday. Like, I was like, no, this isn't happening. I spent most of Saturday in a bed in Athens in a hotel. but while everyone else, friends of the podcast, trekked on and fought the good fight throughout Sunday, Saturday. But I saw them Sunday morning, and I think they were a little worse for the wear. Just like I think we all would be. But so I'm looking for a pretty low-key weekend. I'll watch lots of conference tournament basketball and wrap it up with Selection Sunday like DB.
Hey, buddy.
So I'm going to piggyback off of DB's a little bit too. With Selection Sunday, although it's a specific aspect of Selection Sunday. I'm looking forward to snub season because there's nothing better than hearing people bitch about how their 15 and 16 team should have gotten in over the 14 and 17 team that got the 13th seed. Mm-hmm.
Look at these blind resumes.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me which team deserves to be in.
Yeah, when you're arguing number 68 versus number 69, it's
nice.
Shut up. Yeah.
But now, I mean, if I'm a fringe team, I want to go to the NIT this year because they've got all those fucked up rules that they're trying out. Yeah. So, like the weird, aren't they having like a... It's like a 20-second shot clock after an offensive rebound or something like that. And there's something else that's... They're doing four quarters instead of two halves,
right,
or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I just found out earlier this year that women's college basketball is in four quarters.
Right.
I had no idea. So, but yeah, I agree that is always funny. The first like 4 hours after Selection Sunday, everybody being pissed off online about who got snubbed.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for checking out the show once again. Be sure to check out the website, millironsports.com. We got tons of new content coming to you daily, and I say daily in air quotes because we put about, you know, we'll call it weekly. Check us out on Twitter at MailIronSports. You can find all of our individual Twitter accounts in the bio there. And head to Facebook.com/MailIronSports and check us out on Instagram at MailIronSports.
Bye.
See you next weekend.